Welcome to Moving Forward, the listener-supported radio ministry of Dr. Stephen Rummage, senior pastor of Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida. Our goal at Moving Forward is to faithfully preach God's Word to strengthen His people, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, to draw people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you like to partner with us in meeting that goal? To send your gift today, call us at 1-855-436-2961, or go to stephenrummage.com and click the Donate button. Thank you for your vital help in reaching that goal. And now, for today's broadcast. With so many marriages in distress today, is it really possible to have a great marriage? Welcome to today's edition of Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rummage, senior pastor of Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida. I'm Bill Carl, and today we continue to talk about decisions that enhance our marriages. Now, Stephen, looking at the most recent statistics about marriage in America, we'd likely say it's almost extinct, that marriage as a respected, honorable institution is on its way out.
Bill, let's face it, the stats are not good, and they do reflect an ongoing downward spiral for the American family that we really ought to be concerned about. But I'm a believer in marriage because God is a believer in marriage, and since God designed it, He supports it. And I'm going to do all I can do to promote and to encourage marriages.
So what would you say to that person listening today who's struggling in their marriage, perhaps even preparing to sign divorce papers?
Well, first, I would encourage them to listen to today's broadcast. We're going to talk very candidly about how to take a difficult marriage and turn it around. And then second, I'd encourage them to remember that God is in the business of making all things new. If He could create the whole universe from nothing, if He could save you and give you eternal life, then He can work miracles in your marriage. So hang in there. He's not finished with you or your spouse yet. There is hope.
Thank you, Stephen, and thank you for joining us. If you'd like to listen to today's message again, you can do that at stephenrummage.com or using the Stephen Rummage app, which, by the way, you can download for free for Apple and Android devices. And again, our website is stephenrummage.com. Now let's join Stephen for part two of the message, Decisions That Enhance Your Marriage.
If you want to enhance your marriage, make a decision right now. I am going to be cautious and I'm going to guard myself against marital unfaithfulness. When Michelle and I first got married, I wore glasses. I wear contacts now, but I wore glasses when we first got married. And we got married in 1991, so the glasses that I wore are extremely large. Our wedding pictures look like I just finished doing a welding project or something and came back in with the goggles on. And Michelle, every time she looks at them, she says, "Why did you wear those big glasses?" I said, "You loved those glasses back then." But anyway, when we were first married, I went through about three pairs of glasses that I would put on the bed or on the sofa or on a chair, and then I'd sit on my glasses. Now, I tried to be cautious most of the time because I knew that I set my glasses in places like that. I'd look before I sat down, and I'd catch myself. But every now and then, it happened about three times, I just sat down on my glasses, and I thought I was being careful. My wife, Michelle, gave me a very wise piece of advice. She said, "Don't put your glasses where you put your, where you sit down." That's what she said. Very, very simple rule. If it's a place where you would sit, don't put your glasses there. Then no longer do you have to look back and say, "Oh, am I going to sit on my glasses?" I just don't put my glasses where I put my, where I would sit down. That's what I do. I've never broken a pair of glasses since. It's all because I married the right woman, so praise the Lord for that. But now, listen, there are two ways of being cautious. One way of being cautious is to say, "Okay, I'm going to do dangerous things and try not to get hurt while doing them." The other way of being cautious is to say, "I'm not going to do those dangerous things." One way of being cautious is to say, "I'll put my glasses in places where I sit down, then I'll try to look." The other way of being cautious is to say, "I'll never put my glasses in a place where I'll sit." And in your marriage relationship, you can say, "Okay, I'm gonna sort of flirt with different people, and I'm gonna have relationships that become emotional with people other than my spouse, but I'm gonna try my best not to go too far in my relationship." That is the wrong way to be cautious. The right way to be cautious is to say, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where my marriage and where my faithfulness to my wife or to my husband is ever compromised. Now, I want you to look in your Bible and turn just one page over in the book of Proverbs. Look in Proverbs chapter 6. There's a passage that's here that is just so powerful, talking about marital faithfulness. Now, back in Proverbs 5, the Bible compares the marriage relationship to water. But here, the Bible compares being unfaithful to fire. Look what it says in verse 27 of Proverbs 6. It says, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Again, the answer to both those questions is no. You can't carry fire next to your chest and your clothes not get burned. No matter how careful you are, you can't walk on hot coals and your feet not be burned in some way. So is he, verse 29, so is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. Now, if you read the rest of the text, here's what you'll discover. When he says none who touches her will go unpunished, he's not just talking about God punishing. He's really talking about her husband punishing. And basically, it's saying this. Messing with someone else's spouse is a good way to get killed. Now, I said be cautious, but if I were to be completely honest, it should say this. Be scared to death of compromising in your faithfulness to your spouse. Can I just give you three major caution signs to be aware of in your relationship? Just three things, three ways to avoid a problem before it happens. And I hope you'll write these down. And more than that, I hope God will just write them in your heart. But listen, God probably won't write them on your heart if you don't take some time to write them down on a sheet of paper. So write these things, these three things down. Everybody write them down, okay? Otherwise, everybody will think that the people writing them down are the ones who are having real big problems, all right? So everybody write them down, okay? Three major cautions. Number one, being alone with a person of the opposite sex who is not your spouse. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, don't go to lunch with her. I mean, don't ride in a car with him. I mean, do not put yourself in that position where you are alone with a person of the opposite sex other than your spouse. Number two, opening the doorway of your eyes to sexual temptation. I'm talking about what you read. I'm talking about what you look at on the internet. I'm talking about what you look at on cable television. I'm talking about what you look at personally, looking at another person. But beware of opening the doorway of your eyes to sexual temptation. And then a third caution sign, number three, beware of becoming emotionally intimate with anyone other than your spouse. Now, here's what we are learning, and it proves true over and over again. Unfaithfulness does not begin with physical unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness begins with emotional unfaithfulness. Psychiatrist Frank Pittman says this, relationships that involve emotional sharing, whether in person or online, but that exclude your spouse can be dangerous territory. Getting close to someone else to fill an unmet need for intimacy pulls you out of your marriage further and further. If you're talking to a man at your office and you're saying, you know, my husband just really doesn't appreciate me, that is dangerous territory. If you're talking to a friend or someone at church and you say, you know, I've done all these things to improve myself and my wife just doesn't notice, that is inappropriate emotional connection with someone other than your spouse. I'm talking about being cautious. I'm talking about saying I don't want to do anything that will lead me on the road to unfaithfulness with my spouse. So the first word is be cautious. But then there's a second decision to enhance your marriage. Number two, to enhance your marriage, decide to be contented. Now, as we continue reading on in verse 18, the Bible says this, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Now, may I say before I go any further, I'm not going to do a detailed exposition of every word in these verses. Some things just don't need a lot of explanation. But I want you to see some important words that Solomon uses here that talk about being contented in your marriage relationship. He uses the word, and these are commands, by the way, be blessed. The command to be blessed means to enjoy the favor of God in your marriage. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. That's the second commandment. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. It means to have joy because God has given you your spouse. And then the last one, verse 19, is this command. Be filled with delight. Be blessed, rejoice, be filled with delight. It's a picture of contentment in the marriage relationship. God has called you to be content in your marriage. And notice the Bible says, rejoice with the wife of your youth.
You're listening to Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rummage. If you're new to the program and you'd like to learn more about the ministry, find us online at stephenrummage.com. You can also download the Stephen Rummage app. Both include features and resources that will be a real blessing and encouragement in your walk with Christ, including the option to watch live services from Bell Shoals Baptist Church, where Dr. Rummage is senior pastor, online. And in addition to Moving Forward broadcasts, you can also take advantage of Dr. Rummage's weekly video devotions. We just want to give you as many opportunities as possible to hear God's Word, because where God's Word really takes hold is where transformation begins to happen. Join us online at stephenrummage.com. And now back to today's message, the conclusion of Decisions That Enhance Your Marriage.
Now, if you look in your Bible, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 3, you'll discover something about the man who wrote the words we just read. Solomon wrote the words we just read. Rejoice, be blessed, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Solomon was married to 700 different women. In addition to the 700 wives he had 300 concubines. You say, is a concubine some type of farm tool? No. A concubine was an official mistress for the king. 700 wives, 300 official mistresses. And this was the man who said, rejoice in the wife of your youth. We don't know when Solomon wrote the words we read in Proverbs 5. He may have written them when he was a young man, still walking in the wisdom of the Lord, before he married 700 women. He may have written this when he was an old man, and he regretfully told his son what he had learned from bitter experience, rejoice with the wife of your youth. But I think about that, 700 wives, 300 concubines. Do you remember Solomon's first wife? I'll tell you something, I don't remember who she was. Maybe the Bible tells us, I just truly don't remember. I don't know if Solomon remembered, but I'll promise you this, whoever his first wife was, she remembered. She remembered. And 699 times, the husband of her youth broke her heart. Be content with the person God has given you. Now, the truth is, none of us are exactly what we were when we first got married. Men aren't, and women aren't. I heard about a man, he had been married to his wife for about 15 years, and he was getting up on the scale, and he was sucking in his stomach, and his wife was seeing him do that, and she said, honey, that's not going to do any good. He said, sure, I can see the numbers when I do this. Most of us are not what we used to be. Heard about a woman, she was getting very sensitive. She had just turned 30. She was combing her hair one morning, and she saw one gray hair right here. She was just so upset, she came to her husband. And she pointed and she said, have you seen this? And he leaned over and kissed her ever so gently right there and said, oh, honey, I love every one of those wrinkles. None of us are what we used to be. But God has called you to be content in your marriage. Because God put you together with your spouse. Just a simple picture of contentment, to rejoice in the person that God has given you. First of all, be cautious. Secondly, be contented. Thirdly, be captivated. The Word of God says to enhance your marriage, decide to be captivated. Now notice what the Word of God says as we continue in verse 19. Talking about the wife of your youth, it says, be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Be intoxicated always in her love. That word intoxicated means to be led along by. It means that you only have eyes for that person and you are captivated by your love for them. And you say, hey, you can't make that happen. It just happens. No, friend, I want to tell you something. You can decide for that to happen. It's a commandment of God. God would not command you to be intoxicated with your mate if he was not able and willing and available to empower you to be intoxicated by your mate. You say, I can't be intoxicated by him anymore. He doesn't even give me much of a buzz anymore. I mean, I'm just not all that interested. Pray that God would give you a captivated love for your spouse. I've shared this story before, and I'll share it again because I love it. A man and a woman had been married for 60 years or more. And as they grew old together, she became afflicted with Alzheimer's disease. He cared for her as long as he could. And then finally, her husband brought her to a nursing care facility, and that's where she stayed. But still, though he could not stay there with her 24 hours a day, he would spend most of the daytime with her. And he would sit with her, and he would talk to her, and he would comb her hair. He would just look at her. And one day, he was leaving her room, and one of the people who worked there saw him and said, you know, you really don't have to keep coming. We'll take care of her. You being here probably makes you tired, and after all, she doesn't know who you are. And instead of getting angry at someone for saying something so insensitive to him, he said, I know she doesn't know who I am, but I know who she is. And that's why I come. He was intoxicated, captivated by her love. That's the kind of marriage God wants to give you and will give you as you walk with him. They've studied couples who stay together. There's six things that they tend to do. I want to give these to you. Couples who stay together frequently say, I love you. Couples who stay together are physically affectionate with one another. Couples who stay together express their love sexually. Couples who stay together share their thoughts and feelings with each other. Couples who stay together show their love materially. They buy gifts for one another. They do things for one another. They show their love materially. And then last, couples who stay together create time alone together. If you want to be captivated, you've got to make the decision to be captivated by your spouse. Fourth thing, fourth decision that will enhance your marriage, and this is the most important one. Number four, be convicted. Be convicted. To enhance your marriage, decide to be convicted. If you look in verse 21, you'll see these words. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, the Lord, ponders all his paths. Someone whose marriage thrives and grows and reflects the glory of God is that person who is convicted that his ways and his marriage is before the Lord. That's what this verse is about. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. That word for points back to everything that comes before it. So why does the Word of God say, drink water from your own cistern and be cautious? Because your ways are before the Lord. Why does the Bible say, be contented and rejoice in the wife of your youth? Because your ways are before the Lord. Why does the Bible say, be intoxicated always in her love? Because a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. You see, marriage is not just an agreement between two people. Marriage is a covenant between a man, a woman, and God. And when you were married, there was a covenant between you and your spouse and God. You say, I didn't get married in a church. There's still a covenant between you and your spouse and God. You said, well, I wasn't even a believer at that time. There's still a covenant between you and your spouse and God. And here's what you'll discover. As you stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stay close in your marriage.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rummage. And today's message, Decisions That Enhance Your Marriage, from the series Defining Moments. For CD copies of today's message or the entire Defining Moments series on CD, you can call us toll-free at 1-855-436-2961. That's 1-855-436-2961. And when you send a generous gift of any amount to Moving Forward in the month of May, we'd like to send you a copy of Stephen's book, Praying with Purpose, which he co-authored with his wife, Michelle. This book provides encouragement and practical tools to help you gain a better perspective on prayer and to improve your prayer life. You'll learn more about Jesus' prayer life, as well as the intimate prayers of Hannah while she prayed for a child, David as he prayed for restoration. You'll also learn how to implement Jesus' model for prayer, the Lord's Prayer, into your daily life. And when you give today, we'll include a CD copy of Dr. Rummage's powerful message on prayer entitled, Ask, Seek, Knock. You'll be blessed by this message about seeking God through prayer. Get your copy of Stephen's book, Praying with Purpose, and the very powerful message on CD, Ask, Seek, Knock, when you call us at 1-855-436-2961 or give securely online at stephenrummage.com or using the Stephen Rummage mobile app. Stephen, thanks for joining us back in studio. You mentioned six things in your message today that couples who stay together do regularly.
Bill, the great thing about this list is that any married person can do it. It's not rocket science. It doesn't require special training. It's all very practical stuff. So here they are. Couples who stay together, first of all, frequently say, I love you. Now that sounds simple enough, but those three words expressed with genuine authenticity and affection go a long way to keep the fire burning. Next, couples who stay together are physically affectionate with one another. Small expressions like holding hands or a quick kiss in the kitchen, just being physically affectionate connects the two of you. Third, couples who stay together express their love sexually. Long after the honeymoon is over, couples that continue to express their love sexually have a much lower incidence of extramarital affairs and tend to be more content than those who let this aspect of their marriage fade. The fourth thing that couples who stay together do is to share their thoughts and feelings with each other. I think it's important to note that it's not just that they share information with each other, not just saying, what are the kids doing today, or did you see the weather for this afternoon, or is the car filled up with gas? They don't just talk about those things. They share their thoughts, their ideas, their dreams with each other. They also share their feelings with each other. If you know anything about communication, you know that there has to be a high degree of trust between two people to be able to share at the level of what they're feeling. Then fifth, couples who stay together show their love materially. In short, they get gifts and presents for one another. They may not be big presents, but they're just getting small, everyday reminders of the importance of their spouse. Couples who stay together show their love materially. And then finally, couples that stay together create time alone together. They don't just wait and hope for it to happen. They're proactive about creating special times together, just the two of them. So here's the bottom line. The health of your marriage is up to you. You decide to show love to your spouse. You decide to spend time with them. You decide to forgive. You decide how you want to feel. And let me tell you, when you choose to do all the right things, it'll still be tough. Your marriage didn't get off track overnight, and it's going to take some time to get it back on track. But here's the key. You have hope. It can get better. It can be great. Trust God. Do marriage His way. You'll never regret investing in your spouse and in your marriage.
Stephen, that is just awesome. By the way, if you'd like to recap today's message, maybe you're working on your marriage, you can listen again at stephenrummage.com. You can also listen using the Stephen Rummage app and request CD copies when you call us at 1-855-436-2961. And I hope you'll join us again next time as we continue in this series, Defining Moments. Until then, I'm Bill Carl, and on behalf of Dr. Stephen Rummage and the team here at the ministry, Have a great day and keep moving forward.